Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the Score is there for you.
We're just all hanging out here, just wanting our sports, and you guys are still feeding it to us, so that's something I really appreciate.
You're one of the few socializing experiences I have in my life right now, so it's just good to hear your voice.
Thank you, guys. Bottom of my heart, all the Score hosts, for all you're doing. Really grateful to you.
We are Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago.
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Bernstein and McKnight, Sports Radio 670 WSCR, The Score. We have been talking football throughout this show so far because there's been football news. There have been opportunities for league executives to speak because they have their plans. And they say, Jeff Pasch says, our expectation is full season in front of fans, full playoffs. Well, as we bring in Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, who you can find on Twitter at Pro Football Talk. He of NBC Sports as well. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Mike, why do you think the NFL has taken this defiant approach to saying everything is going to be normal and fine?
I wouldn't use the word defiant. To me, I was on the conference call yesterday with General Counsel Jeff Pasch. It was chillingly nonchalant, where it was to the point where I wondered, are they paying attention to what's going on in the world? Like, I think the better comment, instead of saying we plan to have a full season with full stadiums beginning on time, would be we're planning for everything. I think that's what I want to hear as a football fan, as somebody who covers the game. I want to hear that they're planning for everything because they need to be planning for everything. You can't just keep your head down and wait for something definitive in June or July. And I'm told that the league's focus for now is getting the draft accomplished. They'll worry about everything else after the draft. That's not a responsible way to deal with this either. So I was really taken aback by the way that Jeff Pasch communicated the message on behalf of the league. And I hope that they've just made this conscious decision. They're going to try to create this notion of confidence and defiance of the coronavirus pandemic, but that they do have behind the curtain plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, all the way down to Z. I just haven't heard anything from behind the scenes to suggest to me that they really are planning behind the curtain for the possibilities of a shortened season, season with empty stadiums, season with some stadiums empty, some stadiums full, season where you can't play football at all unless you relocate the entire league to Area 51, whatever the case may be. I don't know what they're planning, other than to say we plan to go forward with a full season.
How much of a factor do you think getting people to watch a draft that won't have the people and pageantry involved is in Pasch's statements about having a full league, a full season, and damn the torpedoes?
Well, I think that's a great point. If they say now, well, who knows whether we're going to have a season, then people are going to say, well, why do we care about the draft then if there isn't going to be a season? So I think you do want to create the impression that it's business as usual, even though 22 days from now it's going to be extremely unusual when you see a bunch of people talking about the draft from FaceTime and Zoom connections with AirPods in their ears and crappy backgrounds behind them like you see on every cable news channel now. It's going to be a weird thing, but it's also going to be the highest rated draft of all time. And one way to goose those ratings is to not do or say anything that would suggest they're doing anything other than preparing for a full football season. It just struck me as so out of touch with what's going on. I mean, this is the same day we got the most dire warnings yet regarding the best case scenario nationwide deaths from this thing. I just feel like that's the last day that you want to be acting like, oh yeah, everything's going to be fine in a few months. There's no reason to think that. There is reason to think it won't be. There's no reason to be completely and totally pessimistic because there could be some positivity between now and then. But the idea that everything's going to be fine, I mean, September's going to be here before you know it. I just think it's naive to think it's going to be fine. But I like the idea that you don't maximize the interest in the draft if you start waving the white flag, or at least the possibility of a white flag, prematurely.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. And I think the issue that keeps on popping up in my head is, you remember last year about this time, Mike, we were talking about defensive pass interference and its ability to be reviewed, and the obvious fact that the NFL didn't realize the genie they'd let out of the bottle here. So now we get to this conversation about we're going to have a full season. We've got the new playoffs and we're going to do it this way. When they have to adapt, and they will, all they've done is open themselves up to questions about whether or not they spent enough time planning for B, C, D, E, F, G, all this kind of stuff. And they're going to have to retroactively tell us that no, we had this the whole time. No one's going to believe them, and they'll foul it up one way or the other. They don't seem prepared for that run of events.
And there is a parallel, given the way the NFL is handling this, to the way the government handled the entire crisis, where you can look back a month ago and read some of the statements made by our leaders and say, what the hell were people thinking a month ago? And I think that there's a chance that we get into June and July and we're going to look back on things that Jeff Pash said yesterday and we're going to say, what in the hell were they thinking? And I mean, we're already saying, what in the hell were they thinking? It's only going to get potentially worse unless they know something we don't. That's the silver lining in this. Are they privy to some sort of information we're not? He said that their confidence is based on the modeling that was made available to the owners yesterday on their conference call. Whatever they have that is causing them to be so optimistic, I wish they'd share it with the rest of us. We could all use a little optimism about the clouds parting on this pandemic sooner rather than later. So I don't know. All I know is it knocked me wobbly, and it felt like a Twilight Zone moment, the latest Twilight Zone moment of the many Twilight Zone moments we've had over the past month. But it's like something ain't right here, and it may just be good old-fashioned, damn the torpedoes, get ready for the draft, and please tune in to ESPN, NFL Network, or ABC to maximize our numbers.
You use the word naivete, and that's where I don't give them any benefit of the doubt in that regard. I think it's crass and cynical. I think these are these same owners that have shipped their families off to their third and fourth homes wherever they can find some isolated area, sending their private planes to go pick people up and find their friends and take care of people. Who knows what resources are being hoarded here? There is no damn way that this is naivete. This is sales. This is cynicism. This is a large-scale marketing plan, because when they have to come off of all this stuff, they'll just say that they knew about it in the first place. They'll run the same playbook as everybody else who's revising history as they go.
Yeah, and what have we learned over the course of the past 6 weeks? You can just forget about everything you said. Like, what is anybody going to do? They're not going to rub your face in it. They'll bring it up, and all you say is, all right, who cares? We have bigger fish to fry now, and I think the NFL can get away with it. And that may be one of the reasons why it was Jeff Pash and not Roger Goodell who wrote that check yesterday. Huh. So Goodell's not the one that has to eat his words later. And I think you're onto something. And look, one of the things the NFL has going for it here, it can justify any maneuver made in the interests of further padding its nest of money by saying this is all for the good of the country. that the nation needs this right now. The people need this right now. They need the distraction. They need the diversion. They need something to look forward to. They need 3 days of an escape from numbers that may be through the roof by the time we get to the first day of the draft on April 23rd. And it's very easy under that guise of altruism to do all sorts of self-motivated, purely capitalistic, maximize the money things. Not that I have a problem with capitalism, but it's kind of a sweet spot they've found where they can say, we're just trying to help the people. Coincidentally, they're helping themselves.
Yeah, they could be right, too. Two things could be true. We may need 3 days of the NFL draft. One way or another, we've got 14 teams in the playoffs starting in 2020, Mike. Talking with Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Dan and I were discussing earlier in the show, Mike, the idea that, you know, the NFL has been quick recently to let go of coaches, to let go of GMs, and just jettison an approach, you know, that maybe needed a year or two left, kind of generally across the league. Do you think an extra playoff team and the ability for teams to say, well, we were so close to that last seed, do you think that means teams will hang on to those front office members they would have jettisoned early, to those coaches? Or do you think that makes them more likely to turn things over even faster because of that extra playoffs?
No, I mean, it's the litmus test that we hear all the time, right? As these teams try to get better, hey, you better make it to the playoffs or you're going to be out of a job. That's the standard. So now there's two more seats at the playoff table. When we were at the scouting combine back 4.5 weeks ago, before the world was turned upside down, 4 or 5 weeks ago, whatever it was, we asked during the interviews of the various coaches and GMs what they thought about expanded playoffs. There wasn't a single one that complained about it. I mean, the only team that gets screwed by it is the 2 seed. The 2 seed's got to play an extra game, and the 2 seed is going to potentially be banged up or have a key player injured or just be tired and fatigued and could lose that wild card game. Every time you play another game, it's another opportunity to lose. But for most coaches who are thinking about their long-term security and short-term security, I'll take the extra seat at the table because that's how I save my job. And, you know, for the teams, one of the great shell games that I think every team plays on its fan base is creating this impression that the objective every year is to win the Super Bowl. Baloney. The objective is to act like your goal is to win the Super Bowl while you sit back and count as much money as you possibly can, and you can't count as much money as you can unless you're acting like you're trying to win the Super Bowl. I mean, if your standard for success is winning the Super Bowl, 31 teams are going to be pissed off every year, and you know, even the Patriots of the last 20 years failed more than they succeeded. So if you can avoid the buyouts, avoid the turnover, it actually may help some teams. It may protect them from themselves because they don't feel like they have to, you know, throw the head of the coach to the crowd because they failed to make the playoffs. Or, you know, they can say, hey, we're going to give the coach another chance. We almost made it to the playoffs. So I think it helps everybody. It helps the coaches, it helps the GMs, and it helps the teams avoid more turnover. And we may see a lower percentage of that churn every year, 25% or more. Maybe it's going to be more like 15% if we have these two extra playoff teams and if getting close is good enough.
Talking with Mike Florio on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, as we do every Wednesday starting at 10 o'clock on Sports Radio 670. The Score. A little breaking news here. Wimbledon has announced a cancellation for the first time since World War II. The wow. Wimbledon tennis tournament that was supposed to start on June 28th. Has been canceled. So that's another little pin we can put in the timeline here to look at the realism of what the NFL is doing. But, you know, real talk here for a second, Mike. This is what we were discussing to start the show, and that is the cognitive dissonance that we all have right now in trying to objectively criticize leagues like the NFL and analyze leagues like the NFL while also remaining not just big-time football fans, but having livelihoods that in large part are determined by the interest in sports news. So it might be completely irresponsible for the NFL to have the tone that it has and to be forging ahead with this draft, but you're right. This draft, if they do this, all eyes are, this is an oasis in the sports desert of actual sports content. We are going to be all over this thing for a lot of reasons, and I kind of feel like, I don't know, how bad should I feel about kind of doing their business for them in that way?
Well, here's where I am. I'm numb to it. I went through the 5 stages back when free agency was set to begin, And I was banging the drum as loudly as I could that the NFL was making a huge mistake by throwing around hundreds of millions of dollars at a time when people were on the front end of an economic crisis, possibly the worst since the Great Depression, with this public health crisis on top of it. It's a bad look. It's bad optics. And I was convinced that Monday, when the market unofficially opened, that by Wednesday there was a chance there was going to be a national quarantine and that everything was going to be haywire. And how do you get these deals resolved? They're still dealing with that issue. They can't get physicals for these guys. They just announced the Nick Foles trade yesterday, for crying out loud. So I was beaten down by that experience. I was shouted down by all the fans that wanted something that would distract them, by the league's insistence. And once I saw the memo last week from Roger Goodell making it clear that the league is proceeding with the draft and we're going to fine anybody in the league who dares to suggest otherwise, it's like, you know what? You just have to know when you're beaten and you just have to go along. And the draft is happening. And I could waste my time complaining about it, or I could waste my time and spend my time getting ready for it. And I just think that it's a very pragmatic, numb kind of, yeah, you know what, this may not be a great idea, but they're doing it and there ain't a damn thing I can do about it.
Is there any benefit to seeing them just plow forward knowing that someone's going to change their plans for them? The someone there is likely local governments or maybe in a federal government. But I wonder from your perspective, Mike, if that's any kind of solace, knowing that they won't be able to dictate their terms, not really.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing. At some point, what the NFL wants to do is going to come up against what it can do. And one of the reasons why the commissioner sent out a memo last Monday shutting all the facilities is because some of the general managers are saying, look, you're going forward with the draft. Some of the teams are stuck at home because they're in states with stay-at-home orders and they can't go to their facility. Other teams, they can go to the facility. There is a competitive disadvantage as we work to get ready for the draft. So the commissioner's like, fine, everybody stays home. Well, okay, the offseason program isn't going to happen because all it takes is one state where the NFL does business to continue to have a stay-at-home order, and they can't have their offseason program. Well, nobody can have it. And where does that end? You know, we've had seasons where the Saints had to go on the road for the entire year. Remember the first Katrina game? It was a Monday night game. Instead of the Giants at the Saints, it was the Saints at the Giants. Well, how fair is that? That's an extra home game for the Giants and an extra road game for the Saints. And then they were on the road the whole year. The Vikings had their roof collapse in 2010. They played a home game against the Giants in Detroit, of all places. So, you know, these are all issues. Are we going to have some games with no fans, some games with fans, some teams that are on the road the entire year because they can't even practice at home? They got to practice somewhere else because they can't congregate at home. I mean, these are all very, very real issues. To think that this virus is going to uniformly work its way through our society and be at the point in 4 or 5 months where everyone's gone through that initial peak, wherever the peak is, whatever the valley is, whatever the curve is, and is back flat and is going to stay that way for 4 months, that really is naivete. It's almost offensive to the reasonable intelligence of anyone who's been following this to suggest that this is going to work.
Mike, strong stuff. Continued good health to you. We look forward to talking next week.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.